I get the privilege to continue the series that we have been in for quite some time here at our church called Acts, The Story Goes Viral. And we've been going through this book as a church, and we've kind of revisited it the past few weeks as we are going through the closing chapters of this book, and we are wrapping it up before we head into our next series. But before we get into the scriptures this morning, let me first tell you something that I really, really love about my job here at the church. So there's a lot of things I get to do with our students that I enjoy. I love what God's allowed me to do here. And one of my favorite things is our summer mission trips. So every summer we take our students, both high school and middle school, on a mission trip. And every time we go, no matter where we go on a trip, there is always some form of work project. And so it involves some type of construction and things like that. And so we have our students learn how to work with tools, learn how to do different things, and they have to actually do it. And if not, someone might have not a house that's not painted or something. I don't know. So we give them a work project to do. And a lot of times, you'll see here the picture, they work with power tools. Now, some of you are like, that's terrifying. Yes, it is, all right? But no one's lost any fingers yet, and we're still good, all right? But we give them these power tools, and they have to use these tools to get the job done. And at the beginning of the week, we obviously want them to be safe, and so we give them an overview to make sure they don't lose any fingers or, like, chop their friend's arm off or anything like that. But one of the things that we do is we want them to know how to use that tool effectively. Because if I just give them a power tool and say, hey, go build a wall, it's not going to be a very good thing, and it's probably not going to be a wall that stays up very long. But we want them to know, hey, this is a power tool, and we want you to use it correctly so that the job you do with it can get done effectively, so it can get done right. And in the same way, if you are a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, you have been given a faith story or a testimony or a story about how you have come to Jesus, how you've experienced redemption in him. And that is a very, very powerful tool that God has given you to reach the world around you with the gospel. But just like a power tool, you need to know, how do you use that story and that testimony effectively? How do you use it correctly so that it is effective as you are sharing it with other people? And so in the book of Acts, we see that Paul, as he is sharing his testimony over and over in the closing chapters of this book, he does some things that we can take and apply to our own lives as we share the gospel with people around us. So I'm going to use the word testimony or maybe faith story a lot during this sermon. So let me give you a definition so you know what we're talking about. So when I say your testimony, that is the story of how you have experienced redemption through Jesus. So if you are a follower of Christ, if you've experienced that redemption, you have this story. And it's a story how God pursued you and saved you and how you are his and how he has brought redemption into your life. And that's a story that God says, don't keep that to yourself. Don't keep it private. You should go out and share that story. You should proclaim that story to others so they can experience that same redemption. And that's what Paul does, and that's what we should do. And so with that in mind, we are going to look at Acts chapter 22. And this is one of the places in the closing chapters of Acts where Paul is going to share his testimony. He does it again in 26, but we're only going to look at chapter 22 this morning. So let's read what he does as he shares his testimony, and then we'll see what we can apply to our own approach as we share our testimonies as well. So in Acts chapter 22, starting in verse 1, it says, "Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you." And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. And he said, "I am a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of law of your fathers, being zealous for God as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. For them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said to me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting.' Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' And the Lord said to me, 'Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do.' And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very hour, I received my sight and I saw him. And he said, "The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now, what do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." So this is Paul, and he is sharing his story. He is sharing about how he has experienced redemption through Christ. And as I said before, if you are a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, you have a story like this as well. And you should go out and share it with others. And so what I want to do this morning, it's going to be very practical, is we want to look at Paul's approach and say, what can we apply to our approach as we go out and share the gospel and our stories and our testimonies as well? And so there's a bunch of practical points I'm going to throw at you. So if you're a note taker, you're going to love this Sunday. Just jot some notes or some application as we go. And the first point is this: be prepared. Be prepared. When you read the closing chapters of Acts, the thing that you see over and over is Paul is always prepared to share his story. He never shies away from it. He never runs from the conversation. He always uses every opportunity he's given to share his testimony. He is prepared to do that, and he leans into every opportunity that he is given. In another book in the New Testament, the book of 1 Peter, we read this: "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." So that phrase, always being prepared, that's a phrase that was true of Paul, that he was always prepared to share his story. He was always prepared to tell people about how he experienced redemption in Christ. And we too, we should be prepared, right? We shouldn't dodge that conversation, or we shouldn't shy away from it. When the opportunity presents itself, we should lean into it, and we should be prepared, like Paul, to share our story of redemption. And here's the thing. We all have things that we like to talk about, that we're prepared to talk about. So let me give you one of mine, all right? So I love basketball, right? If you know me, you know I like basketball. I like to talk about it. I like to play it. My wife thinks I love it too much. Whatever. She doesn't know. But I love it, right? I love basketball. And so when someone brings up basketball to me, I don't like run from that conversation or change the subject. I'm all in. Like, I'm ready to go. Let's talk for the next 3 hours. I'm good with that. So I can go to a party, a bunch of strangers. I can meet someone that likes basketball, and we're friends for life. That's who I am. And you all have things like that as well. Maybe it's not basketball. Maybe it's your kids or your job or another hobby that you have. But when that thing comes up, you're ready to talk about it. You dive right in. Now, the thing is, when it comes to our story of redemption, we should be that prepared or more prepared to talk about it. When someone brings up Jesus, we should be willing and lean into that opportunity to share about what Jesus has done for us and what he can do for them. When someone asks you and say, "Hey, why do you go to church every Sunday?" or "Why do you talk about this guy named Jesus?" that's an opportunity for you to lean in and to share your story of redemption. You should be prepared all the time to talk about it. And we're all prepared to talk about something, but the thing is, we need to be prepared to talk about our stories of redemption. And so what do you do with that? All right, I'm going to give you some application as we go with this point. What do you do? First is you need to practice. All right, there's nothing wrong with sitting down and writing out your story of how you came to faith. We encourage people to do that when they go through baptism. And like Paul, we use kind of a three-point outline: who you were before Christ, how you met Christ, and then what is your life now after Christ. And so use that three-point outline and just write out your faith story. There's nothing wrong with that. If you want to be prepared to share it, you need to know it. You need to have it kind of together. And so sit down, write it out, and practice it. But more than that, also lean into opportunities, right? When you're at work and someone brings up faith, or maybe you're hanging out with your friends and they start asking you about why you do a certain thing or live a certain way, lean into that opportunity. Don't change the subject. Don't, you know, run from it like, "Oh, I don't know what to say." Share your story. Share about what Christ has done in your life and how he can do the same in theirs. Lean into that. So be prepared. That's the first thing we can learn from Paul, and we can do that as well. But there's another thing Paul does that we can learn from, and that's speak their language. Speak their language. So not only should we be prepared to share our stories, but we should also speak the language of the culture that we're speaking to while we share our faith stories. And so let me show you this. You might have caught it. In chapter 22, what I read earlier, the first two verses says this: "Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you." And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. So something's happening here. What Paul is doing is he is intentionally speaking the language of the people that he is speaking to. So Paul is a guy who could speak Greek and Hebrew. And earlier in the book of Acts, he would speak Greek because the people he was speaking to, that's their language. And now in chapter 22, he realizes that the audience he is speaking to speaks Hebrew. And so he intentionally speaks their language. And what happens when he does? Luke, the writer of Acts, says that they quieted down, that they listened a little more closely. They perked up. Why? Because they realize Paul is speaking in their language. In their eyes, he gained some credibility. He gained the opportunity to share and to speak about what happened in his life. And they listen better than if he would have spoken another language. And so what does that mean for us? Well, here's the thing. As Christians, a lot of times we fall into the trap of speaking Christianese. All right, so this is a word to say. We have our own language as Christians. There's things that we say that other Christians understand and they get. Maybe it's a word or a phrase. And if you're inside the church or you're with your Christian friends, you can speak that language and it's all good. But then you leave that and you go out and talk to your friends at work, or maybe you're out playing golf or basketball, whatever, and you start to talk like that. They're like, yeah, that's weird. Like, you're a little strange. They don't get it. Because we try as Christians, what we've done is we kind of made our own little language, and it doesn't work for the world out there. So you might be thinking, all right, give me some examples. And for that, check out this video.
Bless his heart. I think he's backsliding.
I think I saw him drink.
Yeah, but in moderation.
I just wasn't seeing much fruit.
He's going down a slippery slope.
How's your heart, man?
How's your heart?
I'm just such a words guy.
It was a total God thing. I'm blessed.
You know he's a believer. I think he's saved.
I just pray you would give him traveling mercies. Mm. Pray for all Tyler's unspokens.
Mm. Echo that.
Just really like to echo Tyler's prayer, Father. I echo that echo of my echo of his echo.
I really feel like I'm being released from this, you know?
I'm trying to be relevant. I'm just trying to be in the world, not of it. Hey, do you want to join our small group? You want to join my D group? You want to join my cell group? Community group? Access group? Accountability group? Acts 27 group?
Dude, he brought it.
He brought the word. That service last night rocked me.
Let's invite some dudes over and fellowship tonight.
We're going to have a sweet time of fellowshipping tonight.
Dude, we had the sickest fellowship last night. Do that, because I feel like it ruins my witness.
Been struggling with that.
I'm really wrestling with that. I'm wrestling with a doubt.
Need someone to hold me accountable.
Dang it.
Crap.
Shoot.
Sheesh.
Frip.
Darn it.
What the H?
Holy crap.
Son of a beasting.
Dude, he's really teeing me off. I'm gonna kick his A.
Are you assing me right now?
Not cool. I find that offensive.
All right. It's good to sit back and laugh at ourselves sometimes. But that video, that's an extreme illustration of we sometimes talk in a way that just sounds silly to the world out there. And when we share our stories, when we share about what Christ has done in our life, we need to make sure that we're intentionally speaking in a way that works for the world out there. And I'm not talking about compromising your conviction as Christians. If there's phrases or things you don't think you should say, that's fine. But I'm saying is be intentional and speak in a way that communicates to the world out there, not just your Christian friends, because you're not talking to them. You're sharing the gospel and your redemption story with people that don't know Jesus and need to meet Jesus. And let me give you an illustration of this. This hit me when I started thinking about one of the mission trips that I went on recently. So I told you earlier, we take our students on mission trips. And this past year, we took our high school students on our first international trip to Honduras. And we knew before we even got to Honduras, the first thing that we were going to experience is a language barrier. Because most of our team, myself included, we did not speak Spanish. And so we knew, hey, when we get there, that's going to be hard to communicate to them, you know, about the gospel, but even just in general as we hang out and work with them. And I realized that very quickly. When we got there, we landed, we got on the bus, and we went to a place called Power Chicken, all right? So think about Chick-fil-A in Honduras. That's what it is. But not as good as Chick-fil-A, because that's like heaven on earth, right? But it was Power Chicken. So we go in, and I'm like, all right, just give me a chicken leg. That's all I need. That's all. So I get in, and I have no clue how to order that, because I don't know how to speak Spanish. I'm like, chicken leg in Spanish? Who knows? So I'm like going up to the counter, and I just start fumbling through some Spanish words that I have no clue what they are. I'm trying to read the menu that's in Spanish. I'm like, I don't know what that means. And the lady at the counter is just staring at me and looking like, what is happening? Like, you were just, and she was frustrated, and I was frustrated, and it took me like 3 minutes, and finally I'm like, just, you know, give me what that guy got. And it was a chicken leg. Who knew? So it worked out. But I could not speak to them, and they didn't enjoy speaking to me because of it. But what I found is throughout the week, there were some students on our team that could speak Spanish, and they did it very, very well, that they were able to communicate and talk to the people in Honduras so much better than I could. right? Like, they didn't want to talk to me because for them, they're like, you're just some like white redneck American that has no clue what you're saying, could barely speak English, definitely not Spanish. And so they're like, I don't get it. And so they didn't want to talk to me. They didn't enjoy talking to me. But the students on our team that could speak Spanish, they were able to sit with them and have conversations with them and talk about the work we're doing. They were able to learn about their lives and they could communicate things about our lives back home. And what hit me is that in the same way when we share the gospel, if we are not speaking in a language that connects with the culture out there, they might not listen to us. They might not even give us the time of day. They might just look at us and they're like, I have no clue what you're saying. So be intentional about speaking the language of the culture so that when you share your faith story, it connects and they listen. That's something Paul did. That's something we should do. So let me give you an example of this, all right? So let's say you're sitting in the break room tomorrow at work and someone is talking about just their life and maybe their life is in a mess and they're just venting to you and telling, man, my life is so messed up right now. I'm struggling with this and that and that. As a Christian, you can look at them and say, hey, can I tell you about how I was a lost sinner, but through the Son of God, I was redeemed by his blood? Okay, I get that. I know what you're saying. Other Christians know, right? You're a sinner, Jesus, blood, we're on the same page. But think about it. If you're not a Christian and you don't go to church and you don't care about Jesus and anything like that, that sounds crazy to them. That doesn't make sense to them. They may look at you like, what the heck are you a part of? Because that's kind of weird, right? It will not connect. But what you could do is simply change how you start and say, hey, you know what? My life was a mess too. Can I tell you about how this guy named Jesus changed me? Right? That's simple. It's not a big change. You're not speaking a different language. You're simply saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to speak in terms and I'm going to communicate to you down to earth in a way that makes sense to someone that isn't a believer. So be intentional with that. Paul was, and we can do that as well. So the first thing was be prepared. The second is speak their language. But then another thing we can learn from Paul is this. Long for others to come to Christ. Long for others to come to Christ. So as you share your redemption story, your faith story, your testimony, your desire should be that the people you are speaking to would experience redemption in Christ as well. And that was Paul's motive. Let me show you this in chapter 26 of Acts. In verses 28 and 29, Paul is speaking to King Agrippa. Those verses say, and Agrippa said to Paul, in a short time would you persuade me to be a Christian? And Paul said, whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. So Paul says, yes, my desire, King Agrippa, is that every single person, yourself included, and the people that's listening right now, that they would experience the same thing that I've experienced, that they would experience redemption through Christ. That was Paul's motive. That was Paul's desire as he shared his story. And so some of you know, last month, my wife and I, we were able to welcome a new member into our family. And this is Brianna Jade. So my wife did not want me to use that picture, but she had a Duke onesie on. I said, that's all that matters, all right? We watched our first Duke game together the other night. She has no choice in the matter. She will be a Duke fan. It's already decided for her. But here's the thing about Bri. I love Bri, and it's been awesome for about a month and a few weeks to have her with us and to bring her into our family. But I desire for her to experience a lot of things in life. There's a lot of things I hope as she gets older, she gets to be a part of and she gets to experience. But one of the things that I hope that she experiences the most is redemption through Jesus. That she experiences what it's like to turn your life to Christ and experience redemption through him. And there's many nights when I hold her and I pray that over her. Right, I want her to experience that, and I pray even now as she gets older and she can understand the gospel that that happens. And even I sing to her, and some of you are like, you sing? Yes, to her, not to you, right? But I sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. And that's a song I sing to her because I hope it's true in her life that at some point she decides to follow Jesus and make the most of that. I hope that, I pray for that, I long for that. But here's the thing, I should long for that, not just for her. I should long for every single person I come in contact with to experience that. And if you're a parent, you may get that. You long for your kids to experience Christ, but maybe you should experience that same longing for the people you work with, the people you hang out with, right? Everyone you talk to, that is someone that you should desire and long for them to come to Christ. And as you share your story with them, that should be your desire. But you might be saying, Austin, the desire's not there. And I'll be honest, even though I'm up here talking about it, this is something I struggle with, that I desire this for my girl and who I'm close to, but I don't always desire this for my neighbors or for the people I would say I work with, but I work at a church. So I don't know. Rick may need to, I don't know. But here's the thing. So I should long for everyone to experience that. And if that desire's not there, what do you do? Or maybe you're like, the desire's there, but it's not deep as it should be. So what do you do in that instance? Well, you pray and you ask God for that desire. There's nothing wrong with going to God and being honest and saying, God, I don't desire for people to come to you. I don't desire for people to experience redemption as much as I should. So will you give me that desire? Will you stir in my heart a burning passion for people to experience redemption through your son, Jesus? And I can promise you this, that's a prayer God's going to answer, right? God's not going to be like, nah, I'm going to pass on that one. No, he desires people to come to him, and he wants you to desire that. And if you go to him and you're honest and you seek him and say, God, give me that desire. I need that desire. I promise you he will give you that desire. He wants you to have that. So Paul had that desire. We should have that desire as well. So the first thing is we need to be prepared. We need to speak their language, and we need to long for others to come to Christ. But there's one more thing that Paul does that we need to do, and that's get to the gospel. Get to the gospel. Whenever Paul shared his story of redemption, it was never about Paul. It was never about him cleaning his life up or becoming a better person. His story was always centered on the fact that Jesus pursued him, chose him, and saved him. That is the center of his story. It's not him, it's Jesus. And we need to know when we share our stories, we got to be careful. It's not about us going to church and then we figured life out and got better and became better people. Or it's not about you just tried really hard to be a better person. No. Your redemption story is about Jesus pursuing you and saving you and redeeming you. And that should be the center of your story. He's the hero of the story. All you did is bring your sin and your brokenness to it. He's the one that did it all. And so as you share your story of redemption, let's remember this, that our testimonies is not about us, it's about Jesus, and it's about what he has done for us and can do for others. And so what we've seen this morning from Paul is simple, is that we have been given a powerful tool to reach the world with the gospel, and that tool is our testimony, is what we have experienced. But we got to go out and share it, right? We don't keep that story to ourselves. We don't just keep it in here and just say, I don't want to share it. No, go out and share that story with your friends, with your families, with your coworkers. Tell them about how you've experienced Jesus and experienced redemption, and through that, how they can experience the same thing. So that's my encouragement for us as we wrap up and we worship a little more with the band this morning, is as we leave here, that we would go out and share our stories with the hope that other people experience that redemption. And as we do, let's be prepared, let's speak their language, let's long for them to come to Christ, and most of all, let's get to the gospel. So let me pray and let's ask God to give us the strength to do just that. Father God, we are very, very grateful for Jesus. Thank you so much, God, for sending him to this earth for us so that we can experience redemption. And God, for all of us in this room, if we are followers of Christ, if we've given our lives to you, we have that story. We have a redemption story. God, help us not to keep it to ourselves or just keep it hid. God, help us to go out and share it with our friends, with our coworkers, with our neighbors, that we would proclaim what you have done in our lives and what you can do in their lives. God, even as we sing, God, you have given us breath. You've given us this voice to go out and praise you. And one of the best ways that we can praise you is by sharing about what you have done for us and sharing about our redemption. So God, help us to do that. Help us to be prepared. God, help us to be intentional about speaking the language of the people we're speaking to. God, help us to long for others to come to Christ. Give us that desire. And most of all, help us to keep the gospel at the center. It's not about us, it's about you. So God, help us now, even as we worship and then go out of here, Lord, help us to go out and proclaim that message. Proclaim your redemption in our lives boldly. God, we love you. Thank you so much for Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen.